So when I was doing the preparations, I landed on this collaboration you did with Ewell of Chris Brown, Under the Influence. Yeah. And then when I interviewed Ewell, she said, you came up with the choreograph for the whole thing. I just want you to walk me through that. Like, how did you come up with the idea? No, Gamba, hey, I need this person to do this, and this person will be the best person to do this.
Well, let me give you the juice. The first time I watched the official video for Under the Influence, the Chris Brown original video, I got that spark. I wanted Ewell because people have never seen like the sexy side of Ewell. Like it's that funny. Like people see her as a serious person. Eh? No joke, no game. She's a very serious, smart lady. Yeah? So someone wouldn't start even thinking about her in that light. But that's what makes it like more nice. There are parts where I would lift her or like hold her waist, and she would give me that eye of, nah, Dietrich. We got disturbed by police. Oh, God.
Mujevale. My name is Barney Kibuka, and welcome to another episode of the Ugandan Ball Talk Show.
How are you doing, my guy?
I'm good, my bro. What's up?
Nothing much. I'm so excited to have you to podcast one.
Kaweda keko, stede stede.
Kaweda keko, kulawa. I've been waiting for you for a long time, ever since I had Brenda on the podcast. And so when I was preparing for Brenda's episode, Nakola ka research, then nengwa ku video collaboration jamaa na yo, and I'm going to ask you about that today. So that's going to come up because there's some things she left untouched. Nagamba, I'm leaving that here. Your districts were just tandikira. So that's where where she stopped is where you're going to pick up from. But that will come on later. So districts, welcome to the podcast, brother.
Thank you for having me. And straight out, I think your podcast is like one of my favorites.
Thank
I've been
you.
Listening
Thank
on
you.
The low.
Yeah, I appreciate hearing that. I like tapping into you guys. More talented, like you know what you do, and it's cool. So when I started the podcast, I wanted to bring these talents out here so we can tap into your guys' minds and what we do. To all of our Instagram, you dance, but we don't really know the behind of the scenes of the creatives that you do, the creative work that you guys do. So that was the whole reason why I wanted to sit down with you guys. It's new Miamu, and even other people getting to know you, and there's a lot of judgments that might be out there. Instagram, like, oh no, guy, this and this and this. But when they sit down to listen to you, you might help them understand or get a different perspective of life from just what they see on Instagram, where sometimes you don't really have enough time on Instagram to explain yourself or take over to work out, and then people will now when you get a time to sit down to podcast, this is why I did this, when I went to Nako, this is the reason why I did this. But Dietrich, what are your real names? Manyaga Matufuguan.
Manyaga nga gobuzare.
Yeah.
Dennis. But high school was a very interesting journey. I was at Namiriango College.
Okay.
How the name Dietrich came up was, I still do b-boy, which is just dancing. But right now, I think because Afro is moving more, that's why I'm leaning onto it. But I was like among the best people at that time. So people used to tell me, you have too many tricks up your sleeve. So in my head, I was like, it's okay. If that's what they want to call it, it's okay. So I just added my name, Dennis, with the abbreviation of D to the tricks. Okay. And it made sense. But I had a lot of backlash at first because there is also an international dancer called Dietrich. So there was that small collision.
So they thought you copied Wako Pauli, international dancer?
Everybody.
Okay.
And you know Ugandans, once they fight something, like you've told them, they're going to speak. Yeah?
Yeah.
was like, you know, it's chill, but they like the name, so I went with it, and it was also good. So I kept it, and it became an identity for me now.
That is good. Actually, when you're mentioning that, so nange nja kuweka backstory. When I was in high school, I really wanted to be a DJ. I want to be a DJ. Actually, I thought I'm going to be a professional DJ.
You look like those guys who are entertainment prefects.
Sorry, entertainment prefect. I was actually in my post naliko sanitary prefect. Nembe lako education and library. Nembe lako head prefect. Yeah, I was a head prefect. But I was a head prefect mo senior 3. That's how I was head prefect mo senior 3 and heading over senior 6. head prefect. I think I was head boy. Babons Jacko guy young, he told me, you're misusing the post of the head boy because all the girls were just following you because you have the title of the head boy. Bunny, we have to step you down from being the head boy because you're misusing that. But going back to the story, Jamani Gamba, like, I wanted to be a DJ. So my name is Bunny Chibuka. And so I had got a name, Basha Momakatiao. So it's Bunny Basha Chibuka. So it was like, okay, two B's. That's a B squared. So then I was like, B2K. So my DJ name was going to be DJ B2K. But at that time, when I'm all I named myself that. And then I found out there was a B2K guy, Mokampala. I think he works at Majestic Plaza. B2K, as mixes out. Now I can't use that name because they're going to think I copied him. But I really did not. I came up with that name, but I just found out somebody else has it. So I didn't use it. But yeah, it's cool to hear the background of how you got the name.
Did you get the backlash from naming yourself that name?
No, actually, I did not because I just gave up after I found out somebody else had it. But I can't be very cool. Name it.
That's a deal breaker for you. No.
Before I got any backlashes, I just said, I'm going to leave the name. But some of my friends who had already named, who had knew about the name, they still called me that in high school, but I wasn't using it officially. Yeah, I was planning to ask you, Kulinyari, the Dietrich, on how you came with it, but that's cool that to hear the background of it. And you touched on some things that I wanted to bring up right now, is the tricks. And the style of dancing. You mentioned like three styles of dancing, like more high school, wakuba b-boy, then knowing the hip-hop. Watching your videos, or could be able to dance to your waters in here. Like, what style, doc? I'm not even going to ask you what style do you dance. I'm going to ask you what style of dance don't you dance?
Don't I dance? I haven't yet tried ballet.
Okay.
But I see myself, one day I might make a mistake and enter a ballet class. I haven't done ballet. I haven't done, I think mainly some traditional, some certain traditional styles. I haven't yet ventured there. Mainly those two, but most of the rest I've tried. I like to push myself to learn and collaborate with people. So it's funny how, now that you've said that, it reminds me of something I saw on Twitter recently where someone said competition is at the bottom. At the top, people are collaborating.
Right.
And it pushed me to think about these things. Like, remember when we were starting up in high school, we used to dance competitions. Your passion is in being the best. So you have to beat this opponent who is in front of you, or like dance better. And the funny thing is now we are just collaborating with people. Mm-hmm. So it just gave me more context to how the journey is like moving. So you find back then you would really fight on a competition. I have to beat this person.
Yeah.
But now you go for a competition, I think that drive is not there because now there is more there's more of that collaboration and love. That the struggle has reduced the other struggle of like the stats has reduced that. So that drive to compete against people is not that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a collaborative thing now, and it's in a good way. It grows. People.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I've never thought about it, but when you said it, it makes sense in my head, because, and that's why dance in Uganda is going to be very good. It's going to, the dance industry in Uganda is going to grow very well. Kubanga mentality, like what you just said, it's not a competition, but it's like a collaboration. And like people ask here, "Woteka yo video ngang club? Are you dance with dance mamweta or zinane iwell?" We will have to like, oh, how would Dietrich dance with this person? That would be a good dance if Dietrich collaborated with this guy, and then you do it, and then it's like that's fire. Then no kanomla. But like when you see, I'll give you an example. Music industry in Uganda is still struggling because they are still in that competition thing. That's where my mind went when you talked about that, because when you watch the music industry, singer. But if they came together and they worked together, then it would have been a good place for them and love each other, you know.
But and speaking about music, the music industry, because that is basically our industry also. Mm-hmm. We intersect with them a lot. That's some few artists are still in that olden time of the competition, the hardcore head-to-head competition. But if you look at the new school artists, they are the ones who are embracing collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some of also who have realized that, but we cannot be going head-to-head the whole time if I want to reach this level. Like, why? You see, for the best example could be like for the Jay-Z's. Jay-Z does not charge people for collabs, but you have to be his friend for him to actually give you a collaboration. So now, if you think about such a thing, means one, if you're on his wrong side, you might never collaborate with him. Right?
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity for, or like someone who has beef with. But imagine now people like his friends, the people like Khalid, Nas, all those other artists. Imagine getting dream collaboration for someone at no price, but it's all because of what? Friendship and collaboration. But when you come back here, yes, there are some artists I see who do it, and of course our dynamics are different. I cannot compare our dynamics of our music industry to the one of the Western world, but still there are those who embrace it. So you find some artists are more receptive to like working with dancers, allowing a dancer to choreograph for you, because they have, what I've learned with working with artists, there's a lot of ego in the room. Yes, they know, and the whole Uganda screams my name, they play my song 24/7, 365 on all the top radio stations. So for you to tell this guy something, he feels like you must have like 40 masters.
Yeah.
For you to tell him something.
Mm-hmm.
But that it took like of course it took a few struggles, but now people are more collaborative. So people can listen to a dancer and say, okay, I want you to help me choreograph this, how you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'll come and give him corrections here and there. But before Toinacho wagamba. So there's been a very huge improvement, and I love it, because nowadays you see things like TikTok that work are learning to embrace that collaboration culture, to work with people. That even someone who is, you know, not necessarily at your level in the industry has also a specific value that you might not have. Yeah, and you learn to respect such people. So it's what I can say is the playing field is becoming more leveled now, and it's nicer.
Yeah, that's really good. And I like how you interconnected both dancing and music, because they both go together. So I wanted to touch, like, how did you get into dance? I know you mentioned a little bit of high school, but when did you switch your minds, like cutting in a kubera professional dancer, like, or when did you start dancing?
You see, the interesting thing about how I'm going to answer this question is, as well as a football player.
Oh, really? What are your
number? Number 9.
Okay.
As a hardcore football player, like the diehards, the ones who, I think even my family knew that this one, okay, yes, he's studying, but we need to look for a way of getting him into like KJL or any other sports academy for soccer. So that, because I used to play too much soccer. I used to break windows at home. Because of soccer. I don't know if people know the threats that come with breaking someone's window with your ball in Uganda. But it's, so I started from soccer, and then I started getting injuries because I used to over dribble people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I used to play with older people. I don't know why, but I used to prefer playing with older people. So first I'm outmatched in energy. So someone real like hits me with a dirty tackle,
mm-hmm.
and I go home with like ankle injuries, knee injuries. So the time I started high school, I went to Tetende for a term, and they were really impressed that I had soccer
talent,
credentials, certificates and all that. But as I was there, still the injuries just kept increasing and increasing and increasing. So then when I shifted to Nakiango in 4 months second term, it's like my football dream had died, because me at that time, seeing myself making my way to like Uganda Cranes, that was where my vision was. But then when I switched to Namiliango is a rugby centered school.
Yeah.
So now they're like, yoha, soccer, I have to pause. So that pause, that's when I started watching a lot of America's Best Dance Crew. That's when I started watching more of like the Stomp the Yards, You Got Served, Step Up, all those the real old classic dance movies.
Yeah.
I started learning on them and watching, and the passion started growing slowly. But I think originally it had started with, you see those celebrations we usually do, like after you score a goal?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the magic like originally happened. From those small celebrations to watching the film, it started connecting. And then high school, once I realized, you can gain popularity with dancing. That film.
Yeah.
Like, I have to enjoy my high school. So from that came all the pressure from being famous to the ladies, to media, like media know you. So I was like, if really dance can make me get this, then I think even the financial side of it started coming up in high school. I might as like, hey, if I can earn this car extra small money while I'm doing what I love, why not?
Yeah.
So that's when I now said, now let me take it like really, really serious. And I see, because people had said identifying it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always tricky when someone starts to identify something with you. You can do other things, yes, but they'll always identify you by that.
Yeah.
So the best thing you can do for yourself is also up your game in what they identify you as, because it helps also build you. Because, for example, if I'm going to apply for a job, let's say as a lawyer, for example, and someone knew me as a shabby dancer,
yeah,
they wouldn't give me that job, even if I had the credentials, because in their head they still have that slight dirt on you. Ah, this guy, the shabby dancer, first of all. But if at all you're a respectable, clean, smart, and talented person, and creative, it's like a plus to you,
right?
So that. like, really, people can't be identifying me as the same way they identify other dancers. And at that time, dance was regarded to be like one of those dirty hobbies.
Yeah.
Reason was the most people had, okay, the majority of the population had that view of dancers in Uganda were seen through like, I've seen those videos of this guy's concert. This guy who does, what's his name? Usually, Suna Ben.
Suna Ben. Seen Suna Ben concert? I've seen a few videos. Uh-huh.
So you see that passion people have to dance in his videos.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are free, people are dancing, no shirts, like bare feet. Even if they tell them to lie down in the sand, they lie down. So that is the image people had. Now imagine that image. The corporate world has that image of people who are in what?
Dance.
So that would, and that would affect us. Because remember, I'm a multitasker. So then you find me in dance, but I still have to use my degree for what it was used.
Yeah.
The tuition and school fees didn't just go like that. Worst. So you find when you're interacting with these people, they want to, they keep trying to reference you with those people. So they're trying to see, are you shabby? Like, are you combing your hair? Like the small things. And you'd be shocked. Like, I would reach places and someone tells you, he's a dancer.
Yeah.
And like, yes, I'm a dancer.
By the way, speaking of that, you're super clean. Like in all your videos, there's some videos I've seen. Go, you dressed up really nice. The shirt is there, the trouser. Your hair in video, like it's always clean. Like that's one thing anybody would pick up. Your hair is always straight up.
Thank you, and it's helped steer things in the right direction, because now people give you that proper respect. So they get to know that, okay, dance is a profession and it's respected.
Mm-hmm.
Like just from those small things, they start picking out. And it kept on going. So once I understood how they were thinking, like what mentality they had of dance, I was like, no, we have to change this mentality. Mm-hmm. If at all we are to make this like professional. So right now, If you look at the current scene in Uganda and you look at all the dancers, they all have a nice and respectable outlook to themselves. From just the dancers you mentioned, look at Mamweta, Ewill, Jordan, even the older ones from the Uncle Walters. Everyone now has a nice image that they really bring out. Even like ghetto kids who are killing it, like, seriously.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
You look at their image and everything is on point. And that is how it's supposed to be. From there, people start to respect like their craft.
Mm-hmm.
And everything falls in line.
Yeah, that's a good way how you've interpreted dance and how you have transformed in your own way. I'm not going to say like you've transformed all the dance in Uganda, but in your own way, starting with you, you've transformed dance. So like people will look at you. And like you said, like, people might look at you like, hey, you're a dancer? Because of the way you treat yourself, the way you dress up, the way you look, you're a dancer and you still acknowledge all these other other things that go on with your life. Then that brings me to founding. You're the founder of H2C. What does H2C stand for, and how did you come up with the idea to start that group?
Well, H2C stands for Here to Change. So it's a dance group that I started up. Interesting stories, we were 10 at first.
Oh, wow.
Now we are 3, but we are growing.
Okay.
Before you
answer that, is it easier with more people or with less people?
I don't think number is the
problem.
Is the question, but yeah. I think like-minded is what makes it easy, because you could be three people, but if you're not like-minded, you'll be fighting the whole time. Yeah. So you won't have it. Be 10 and you're all like-minded, everything will flow. Like,
okay.
So I think like-minded is the right quality for, for groups. Because when we're 10, that was actually one of the things that kept drifting other people away.
Mm-hmm.
So you find one who are different age groups. So you might find me, who collected everyone and brought them and fed them the idea. It's at that time I was like, 15?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find I'm telling like a 25-year-old, bro, you're talented.
Yeah.
I need you to join the group. Eh?
Yeah.
So that person goes to me, how are you going to be catering for us? Give me like your financial projections or like such a question. At my age, that time, me, I'm thinking with passion. For him, he's thinking
with money
about the value. So if there, we are not like-minded. We are in different headspaces.
Mm-hmm.
So you might find, yes, the person might come on board, but after a while, if they don't see like financial gain, they'll be like, you know what? Beatrix, first push this thing solo. Let me first grind. Right. I need to pay rent.
Yeah.
And just like that, the person can step out. So it started with like those small things, but they're always like-minded people in a group. So from the 10, I break off like 3, and first we're in different schools. So we used to meet up in holidays.
Yeah.
But the original, how I got the people there, especially the three who are now like left, the three of us. So there is David, who is the short one, stage name DVD. Then there is Cedric, whose stage name is Cedo 15, who is my, they call it height mate, but the taller one.
Mm-hmm.
So I met Cedric at Namiliango. Senior one. So funny thing is, if you remember in high school, we used to have those dance competitions of Mr. Tango, Mr. Fox. And so imagine, I joined this school, I'm from Chitende, people are hyping me, you're a good dancer, what? So I reached the Miliango and people tell me, bro, you can't dance. From Greenville, he has been dancing. Girls die for this guy. There's nothing you can tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how people can assure.
Yeah, and they can hype.
So we had that Mr. Form 1 dance competition. So they put forward the two best dancers in what from Senior 1 compete with between themselves and the whole school. So number one on the list is Cedric. So me in and they are contemplating after they have given me all the whole list of how deadly this man is. So I said, you know, it's okay, let me just go have fun. So I register, I go, and luckily I managed to win. So he was also shocked that someone came out of nowhere and managed to like beat him. But from that day we became like really, really close friends with him. That's when we started. Now we became a duo with him, so we started dancing together because I realized there's like a style of dance he knew that I didn't know. So me at that time I was strictly hip hop. You could not tell me anything else. And for him as Afrobeat, dancehall, Lingala and MJ, so you can imagine he had a better array of dance moves, dance styles versus me. But me, what I want, my aim was to learn from him. So I said, oh, this is a good person to collaborate with and learn with. Because I tell you, why should we have start having beef? Now we are senior ones having each other. So we became friends. Then for David, interesting story still. There is a competition that usually used to happen in holidays called High School Kadanke.
Okay.
So what high school
kadanke? Yeah, I think I've heard about. I heard about that.
So high school kadanke would collect, would go through schools and collect like the best dance groups in schools, and bring them to compete outside school for a bigger prize. So I hear about this competition in holidays, and yeah, I get my home crew, some guys I used to practice with, and I'll tell them, guys, let's go and see if we can make this Kamani. So they registered us through some school. So we go there. So David was in Stendi at that time. So we compete against each other. We compete, but you know when you can tell like certain people who have that X factor when they're dancing,
yeah,
or like when they're performing. Yeah, you can always tell that this guy is like really, really, like I think he's really good, or he's the leader of the group.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell; those two things are easy to identify. So I think when I watched their performance, that's when I spotted that X factor in him, and I was like, oh, this guy is like really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Like not high school level, like really, really good. But I said, he's still my opponent for now. So we go head to head, until we reach finals with him. Now, reaching finals, he was more prepared than my crew. As we prepared last minute.
Yeah.
For them, they had worked for this thing. So he managed to beat us. And I think at that time, I thank God I'm not a very proud person, because I like to learn from my losses. So after that, I went and talked to him and told him, bro, you're good. And he also acknowledged as good. Then I gave him the idea. I told him I'm from a dance group of like the best dancers in high school. And like from high school at that time. And you're like one of the people top of the list. I want you to join the group. And he was like, it's okay. I'll give it a shot. And we see where this goes. So like that, we joined up, the three of us. And the interesting thing is we're like-minded, because one, we're both in, the schools we're in, I think, conditioned us to think alike.
Mm-hmm.
So you find our tests are not so far apart from each other. So you can understand each other, you can collaborate easily. So we kept the communication and pushing. And, you know, people started actually seeing it as it was like a dream team. It's like getting the best person from this school and put them together.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, they were liking the entertainment. And for us, we were like, oh, really? We can do this, maybe, and have fun with it and see where it goes. But me, in my mind, I had, because I was so deep into YouTube at a young age, I was watching all these movies, I would keep seeing how people are making a living off dance. People are getting endorsed by big brands. And I'm like, man, no one in Uganda is doing these things. Mm-hmm. We need to at least try. If we fail, at least we tried. So my vision was that side of, let's like really, really go hard with this. Because of course, that time it wasn't recognized. But if I told you, earn from it, really earn.
Yeah.
So we kept pushing and pushing. So performances kept coming through. We kept enjoying, the passion kept us like really, really going.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think after like 2 years, that was like 2014. That's when I was like, you know what? I think we are like past game in like this dance thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let us take it really, really serious. And we're like, we're on the same headspace and understanding at the moment. So we all made that agreement. We just had the company, made everything right, made enough research, drew up everything we need to actually like reach our goals. And started now working towards them. So started pushing, building the brand slowly till where it is.
Yeah.
But that is mainly it's journey. It's a passion driven dance company, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And main aim, of course, is to inspire the youth, because that is what we are doing and it's what we stand for. So it gives us joy when we see people like who start from high school and think, when will I ever be on TV?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when you reach the goal, mm-hmm. you forget how it used to be.
That's definitely true, and I like you walked us through the behind of H2C, which actually, who was it? I think it was Jordan. She recommended H2C to be the next guest on the podcast. But at that time, we had already scheduled our recording with you. But she wants the three of you at the same time. Mwenaku podcast at the same time. And I was like, yeah, we will plan it and then see. So I was going to mention that to you when I host you today, that I would love to host you guys, like the three of you, to kind of just talk about your journey and everybody's experiences to inspire other people. So we can schedule that after this. But I like to hear that all of you came with one dream and have that dream and kept growing. Now, who is the owner of like Troy Studios?
Well, so Troy Studios is it's owned by, let me not say owned, let me say still like
how run by or somebody who runs it.
Have top management.
Yeah.
But of course here in Uganda, for lack of better terms, let's say owned.
Okay.
It's like a company that owns it, but that company is led by someone.
Okay.
So the person who leads that company is called Roy Reynolds Tumwiziri.
Okay.
So Roy is he's a dancer, first of all, and also a businessman. But his passion, of course, lies mostly in dance. And he's among those people who have been like looking for ways to impact and, you know, like do something good for the industry and something new, something fresh. So he looked around and scouted and found there was one problem in the industry. Like, one is lack of space.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a talk with him like some time back.
Okay.
And he was letting me know, like, we have a problem in the industry. Like, one, we don't have like places to rehearse, because the earlier days people used to attach dance to a lot of organizations so that we could get space. So you would find passing in a church space, or you're at outreach location on a day off where they're not there. So you see, we're always trying to fix ourselves somewhere so that we could get space to better our craft. So we have to connect, to feel that sense of community with the dance. Even now, like setting up like places for competitions. So space was really serious. He's one of those people who I'm sure, I don't know if he actually hears it a lot, but he's one of those people who have put like in place a solid solution. So he set up, him and his company, they set up Troy Studios as a space for dancers and the rest of the community, but dancers at the top of it, to better their craft and do everything they feel like with that space.
The reason why I asked you Troy Studios is I've also seen like a lot of videos from dancers. They get an opportunity to go practice, train, host classes, and it's a good step to help the dance industry and bring up more talent. Because every time I see videos on Instagram, you see the Troy Studio in the background and you see a different person and see, oh, these people are here to train. Or even when they host studios, you see, oh, we're going to have these classes at Troy Studios at this time. And it's a place that helps a talent, build a talent. And it's really good. I like it.
For example, you see, if you would go, if I was in a different profession and let's say I wanted to get a heart transplant, they would send me to XYZ hospital.
Yeah.
Or if as a dentist and under this, and they'll send me to this place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just lacking that, because National Theatre, for example, combines so many different arts. So there are actors there, there are screenwriters, there are poets, there are dancers, both traditional and urban. So we needed a place that dancers can call theirs. Like when you want dancers, just go to Troy Studios. Actually, any day Like, that's a fine any day, any time.
Yeah.
Minus mid, of course, you always find people dance at those studios. That is why it was something very, very important.
Yeah, that has been a big, big impact. And I'm thankful for that because I love to see people show their talent and people develop. So I'm going to bring you to, there's a thing you have on your Instagram profile that says, "No rest for the gifted." What does that mean to you? When I'm hosting people, I go to their Instagram and then I see, I learn to something, catches my eyes. I'm like, what did this guy mean when he said this? What does that mean to you?
It's like my mantra. Reason why is I multitask a lot of things. If you've seen, because I do dance.
Mm-hmm.
I do videography. I do choreograph for artists.
Do you do radio too? Radio?
Pardon?
Do you do radio?
No. I could.
Okay.
I could. So people should just watch out and protect their jobs. But I do multitask a lot, and what I've realized with this is, sometimes I think we limit ourselves. We can think, okay, yeah, I'm good at dance. And I'll say, I'm good at dance. I will not try and see what else I'm good at, because I've just discovered one thing. So I might think I'm only destined to have one thing. But you could be good at dance, could be good at something else. You could also be good at something else. Like, that's the beauty about being human. Like, you're limitless. So, for example, before you started this podcast, I'm sure you knew you didn't believe that you were actually good at podcasting.
No, I'd never even done it before.
Thank you. So, imagine if you didn't like take that risk to try it out and say, you know what, I can actually do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you keep doing it, realize I'm really actually getting good at it.
Yeah.
So, I started noticing, like, it's a pattern with me. Like, if I put my head to something, I, like, overlearn it, and I want to be, like, really good at it. So, best example was dance. That is, like, the first case scenario. Then I started entering into, like, content creation.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also started seeing, I can learn this also to a higher level. So I started learning and pushing. In the end, it became another side of myself. Then also the day job, still I have to also to keep representing there.
Yeah.
Then also choreographing for different artists. So it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You keep. So I said, you know what? it's like we are allowed to be like multi-talented.
Mm-hmm.
The only backside is there is no rest.
Yeah. And that comes because, no rest will give to.
Because today, someone will book me to dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
After I get off stage, I might be going to shoot content somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Once I'm shooting the content and I'm tired, I have to go and choreograph for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You get like the patterns keep coming and fixing themselves
mm-hmm.
through. Of course, yes, there are rest hours. Like, okay, I wouldn't call them like really rest, but more of a nap. Mm-hmm. Take a nap.
Yeah.
Rejuvenate your body. Just, charge up again.
Uh-huh. Go again.
Maybe what I've learned to do recent is give myself like a leave away from work. Because this is the point, and if you overdo it, suddenly people start trying to stress you, and then it stops being like something you love
mm-hmm.
and starts being stressed.
That's true.
I said, trying to give yourself like a leave, give yourself like 2 days to like first be yourself, come back to humanity,
mm-hmm.
and then after the 2 days, you go back to the back in storm. So that's why that statement like really resonates with me like so much, so much.
And that explains it very well, the way you said it. And sometimes you need a break. Like, yeah, but there's no rest for the gifted, because there's a lot to do in a country like Uganda. If there's opportunities for something, just go take it and just go do it. What is your inspiration? What builds your inspiration for? It could be in your life, or it could be inspiration for dance. Like, what inspires you to dance?
That's a good question. Very, very good question. The first thing that inspires me dance-wise is my team. Because, one, we are all good.
Yeah.
So, you have to level up.
Mm-hmm.
So, the times I watch my teammates dance individually, and I'm like, these guys are good.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a reassurance that I made the right choice.
Right.
So you... The beauty about dance is it's like a spark. Like, someone just sparks something in you and the chain reaction just starts.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's micro dancing. Secondly, it's other dancers both in the country and out, because I always see like dancers push the limit, like people trying new things day in, day out, and it just makes me happy, and I'm like, you know what, no, I need to come back and do this. I need to give them something harder than what I gave them before. And then, of course, there's the haters. Those ones, I think, are universal. But nowadays, they reduced, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
as
That was like way back where you're actually like pushing something, and people are telling you, but
right,
Basha, you'll never be a very good podcaster. And chill, you're wasting data.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's okay, let me waste that. It's my data.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you keep pushing, and it comes to after. Then the other thing is, I think my family.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, they are supportive of the craft. And I think it's like one of those things I always thank God for. And why? It's one of my motivations is, see, African families, for them to believe in something, you have to be showing them proof.
Mm-hmm.
Proof of progress. My family always asks me, so how much have you made so far in dance? You get it. It's a funny question, but it helps you stay awake because your friends are in formal employment, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're engineers, they are lawyers, they are doctors, and you're both the same age, you're both making a living, right? And time is always never on anyone's side. Constantly moving.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep asking, yeah, and they're like, yeah, so you're going to work, how much have you made today? So you have to make sure that figure keeps
adding
giving
up.
Them the hope. And it shouldn't be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick. So you could say, I've made 500,000, and that's your answer to me. Like, just for proof, because they know you could lie, right?
Yeah.
And get away with it. So there's that. They're like my accountability partners, in short. So, and they know that they ask every day, but they have their random days. They just get you like off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, show me a bank statement. And you're like, And your figures have to all make sense. So,
yeah.
They're like one of those people who keep pushing me. So you always need someone that to keep marking your progress. Because the thing with passion driven industry, you can enjoy and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you clock like
40. And people are like, "Ee!" But bro,
toy na call a girl.
And people in Uganda are ruthless.
Yeah.
When it comes to that.
Yeah. That's good. And the reason why I ask you these questions, because there might be a young boy down there who wants to be like Dietrich Parker, like, and for them to listen to your inspirations, and like if say their family never asks them about the accountability, but hears you talk about it, maybe that will open their minds. Like, hey, I know my family is not asking me about accountability, but this is something I need to push myself, like for myself. Kwanga nawe, like your family might do it for you to make you a better person, to make sure you're not lying yourself to weliimba. It's like, you know, you made 500,000 and this is what I made. But if weliimba, oh no, I nafunye kumi, but you pretend like you're making 20, it might not be the right thing for you. That's a checkpoint right there until we're checking. But anyway, I don't want to keep you here for a very long time, but this is the time I wanted to ask to talk about your collaboration with Ewell. I saved the best for the last. Those who have stayed to listen to the whole conversation, they will get the best for the last. And so I hosted Ewell Brenda on the podcast, and one of the collaborations, you've done a lot of collaborations actually. I want to tell the listeners that this is not the only one you've made. You have a lot of them. I was watching through your Instagram, and like at least every day you're collaborating with somebody, or in a different style. You're with other guys. You're doing like hip-hop dances and all that. But so when I was doing the preparations, I landed on this collaboration you did with Ewell of Chris Brown, Under the Influence. Yeah. And then when I interviewed Ewell, she said, you came up with the idea of you came up with a choreograph for the whole thing. I just want you to walk me through that. Like, how did you come up with the idea? No gamba, hey, I need this person to do this, and this person will be the best person to do this choreograph.
Well, let me give you the juice. And a tea. But I remember the first time I watched the official video for Under the Influence, the Chris Brown original video, I got that spark. I was like, oh, like this is a very, it's controversial, but still like nice and edgy concept that they did for the, I think it was a dance class video that one of his choreographers, the female, did. She's called Nicole Kaplan. She did the class and invited Chris to come and be in the class. The one where he sat on a seat.
Right, yeah, I watched it too.
And it was a very, very fire class. Went viral. And over the years, like, that kind of chemistry has been there in dance, but it had faded away for a while because right now Afro is the scene. Like, it is. It's getting the light that it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't hurt, like, for people who actually love that kind of chemistry, like, in dance. So I was thinking about it, and I was like, this is a really good concept for this, and the time is right. So, and I'm always like 3 a.m. deep in Pinterest, looking at like different concept ideas. I'm that kind of person. So, and I kept like, I, because I do videography, I always come up, once the concept hits me, I just write it down and store it like in my notes. So I started thinking, I was like, who would I like really collaborate with that can give me the exact feeling that I got watching that video? So I was looking through most of my friends who are all very good dancers. And the reason why I chose Ewell is, one, she she does the dance style. That dance style is called heels.
Yeah.
Heels dance style. Mm-hmm. More of the sex girl type of thing. And she's like one of, if not number one or number two, but I failed to choose who is better between the two of them.
Yeah.
I failed. Like, they are both so good. But and it's Iwill, because people have never seen like the sexy side of Iwill. Like it's that funny. Like,
yeah.
People see her as a serious person, eh? No joke, no game. Eh? She's a very serious, smart lady. Eh? So someone wouldn't start even thinking about her in that light. But that's what makes it like more nice. So the when I chose her, I was looking at two things. One, to push myself and also push her. So push her in that light of, yes, she does heels, but people have never seen her like do something with that chemistry with a guy, for example. Two, her pushing me. Like, in the same light. Like, yes, okay, I admit I do a lot of controversial things at times, like in videos, but I think with Brenda it was something I wanted to try and see how far we could push each other. And it's always nice when someone is able to push you creatively and you also push them creatively. So I drew up a rough concept. I wanted to give people back that old feel of, if you remember, like the 90s.
Yeah.
That's something special about the rain in music videos in the 90s.
Actually, she mentioned that too.
Yeah. So, and we had a few constraints, as always. So, we're working around getting occasions, time, rehearsals, props. But because I trust me and her work like so well together. So I hit her up, called her, scheduled, like, come, we choreograph. So her coming, we choreograph, but at first she was shy. that's the funny part. That's the beauty about trust.
Like, that's funny because she mentioned the podcast, like, I'm shy, but people don't believe I'm a shy person. I was like, I don't think you're shy.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I think I'm supposed to post the behind the scenes very, 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 very soon.
Okay.
But you will laugh because like the parts where I would lift her or like hold her waist and she would give me that eye of, nah, I did tricks. Like, but that's the beauty about trust. Like, after a while, she started getting comfortable. And I think it's one thing I've learned with dancing with ladies. I think us guys, we adjust a lot faster when you're dancing with someone else. But for ladies, one, you have to make her get comfortable, because if you're not comfortable, she will not execute. So I had to make sure she's comfortable. And then when she got comfortable, now that's when she started pushing me now creatively. So now that's when we started like really, really going into like making the choreography perfect. Then I had to get a videographer in the shortest time possible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That hit up a friend. He's called Kinja Matt. Got him on board, sent him the concept, selected a day. And mind you, we did all this in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yes, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Something that actually supposed to take like 2 weeks or a month. Did it in 2 days. And in my head, I was like, if I have this drive to do this concept now, as long as the three of us are on board, me, Brenda, and the videographer, we can execute. And why? Because we have, one, people's schedules are different.
Mm-hmm.
And two, what I've learned with time is we over procrastinate things. Like, I can get a seriously nice idea right now and I say, ha, I'll do it next week. Then next week, Richard, and you're like, you know what? I'll do it on Sunday. So it's like the same way you see how you approached me and told me we're doing it today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you set it. So that is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So we got shoot different locations, we got disturbed by police. Brenda's outfit now, the shoot day, her comfortability was getting shaken.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know when you're performing like in certain locations, so people are seeing this fine lady in a specific outfit. Mm-hmm. So they're just like casting over her and she's killing the routine. And then out of the blue, some random policeman comes and asks you like, "Why is the question?" I get shoved. So, still the rain scene, and mm-hmm. I think I have to give Brenda her credit for the rain scene, because
yeah,
the funny part is, we shot that rain scene at home.
Okay.
In the compound, we didn't have proper light, so what we did, we improvised. So I got three cars and aligned the lights to face each other.
Mm.
And to make the rain, we had to fake the rain.
So yeah.
We got like a pipe that can spray water.
Mm-hmm.
and got like a proper angle. And I got David. I told him, hold the pipe at this specific angle and splash the water like this. It will look like legit rain.
Yeah.
Then got my sister and told her to make sure she's turning on the cars to put on the light.
Yeah.
So you can imagine we had to improvise all that. But mind you, the whole day we were shooting with Ewill, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, she got tired. And that is, by the way, something as I said, comfortability with ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the car lights, like batteries, died out before we started shooting. The night, because we took like forever setting up to get the right light, the rain, getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had gotten it right, one battery died. I was like, God, mm-hmm. why? God, why? So Brenda is this side freezing, first of all. So I put her in the car and I'm like, you know, at first rest, get warm.
Mm-hmm.
Got her like a jacket covered up and first aid warm. She even first slept as we tried to solve the issue. So after like 2.5 hours, we solved that issue. The car battery.
Yeah.
So the videographer is telling me, bro, I'm tired. There's always like that breaking point where you feel like, I think I should just give up.
Yeah.
And just stop here. But in my head, I was like, oh, so this is the moment.
Mm.
This is the moment the devil is trying to win. I was like, no. And it's funny. Whenever that feeling comes, for me, it's a reminder, like, this project is special. Because
mm-hmm.
almost all the projects that I've done, and I get that those many challenges always turn out to have like very good feedback. So I kept he will hear for like 3 hours while we're setting up again and again and again. And then remember, it's now like midnight.
Wow.
Now like we are still content creating. So we start the rain. So I made this pretty lady dance in the rain for 3 hours.
Wow.
And she kept on going harder and harder each take after each take. And she would still ask, is this take good enough? And would watch it through and be like, okay, we need to clean up here. And trust me, it's like very rare to find like females who have that grit, mm-hmm. first of all, keep going at something that, and also to have that level of professionalism, like to push till you actually like finesse what the actual plan is.
Right.
A lot of people be at Dietrich. No, I've done what I can.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, in all this, we have to make the chemistry look real.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine she was from beep. She first slept, go in the car, woke up, shot. And now when she wakes up shy again. And then you have to make it a comfortable. Real.
Yeah.
So trust me, there are parts where I would have like, let me call them like almost kissing.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to get. Like, she said almost kissing, and she said we kissed, guys, and then afterwards she said no, we did not. And then that's the part where I was like, okay, I'm gonna ask. She said, you get Dietrich here, he will tell you.
There is a tech. There is a tech where but I couldn't put it
okay.
For controversy.
Okay.
For her sake. But
it was accidental.
I still have the thing.
Okay. One day the behind the scenes, we'll get to see what exactly happened.
Honestly, trust me, I the questions I would get from but I think it's a very fun project, and
yeah,
I really like working with her. Like, it's not even my first time working with her, but it's just so nice when I reconnect with like people. And you're thinking like on the same wavelength,
mm-hmm.
and you're both killing it. It's nice.
Yeah. What was the feedback from that video when you put it out after the final product? How was it received?
Backlash. Yeah. Backlash. Ooh. I remember we dropped the teaser, and people thought it was like just like the same effect that original Under the Influence video had.
Mm-hmm.
But people started asking me, so are you and Brenda a thing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the chemistry between you guys is so real. Eh? And I'm like, if it works for them, my head is like, if it works for them, let me see what this person thinks by telling me a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So some people ask me, I'll be like, yeah. We just wanted to, you know, put out some content for you, but yeah, I think. Then those who know us would just know this boy just playing, but they really made it like edgy.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the feedback, one, like, most people first of all loved the concept direction, so which was a huge plus. Two, the dance choreography. Three, the passion I chose. So many people didn't expect that from us. So for me, those are all like classes.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think the biggest achievement or feedback for me is getting the project done.
Yeah.
Because remember what we went through.
At least now the listeners have been able to hear what happened behind, and when they see the final project. And that's something I've been saying always, like, some people are good, quick to criticize something when you put out your work, but they don't really know what happened behind that to even get the work you put out. Like, there's a lot of things that happen. Like, people who ask who are going to watch the video on YouTube, but you're not going to know the battery died at some point, and then for 2 hours you guys were just sitting there. But when you talk about it, like, man, on a guy battery died, and then he still put out the work. Like, that's some talent or hard working going up there. But anyway, I appreciate you.
There were so many challenges. Other person I would like to like give a special shout out is the videographer Kindermat, because he also had that mental strength to keep going, because
That is awesome, and I watched the video. I'm going to watch it again, and I'm going to put some of the clips that you were talking about in here for people to exactly get the feeling and what you're talking about. But I want to thank you for your time. I know I've kept you for over an hour and some minutes, but it's the best thing of the podcast is conversation. And when you meet somebody who likes to talk and willing to share, I like to take that. And when somebody gives you time, I take it. So I appreciate it, and I hope the listeners will be able to get to hear your story and a little bit of your journey. I know you've not talked about everything in your life, but the glimpse of what has happened and where you are and what's going on in life. But I have a a question I'm going to ask you. It's a signature question before I let you go. Who would you like to see? I know I've already said I need the H2C on the podcast, so we need to schedule that at some point. See when everybody...
We'll make it happen.
But who would you like to see on my podcast next as a guest? And you're going to have to connect me to that person.
There is a dancer I have in mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's a new school. He's mainly amapiano.
Okay.
But he's a fun guy. And he's one of those... He's like one of the people who in the process of growth. And I think his story is one I think people need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
He's called Calvin Mayani. He calls himself Uncle Good Vibes. So he's a dance duo with a certain lady called Virginia. And I think they remind me a lot of myself, like the beginning days.
Yeah.
They pushing, like, despite what everyone tells them, they are really, really pushing it through.
Mm-hmm.
Is one that, because that tempo might say, that was your time, district, your time, things were like that, now things are different. But now, if they're to get a story of someone in the current time,
mm-hmm.
I think it will help them get more context.
Yeah, there was a little distraction with the internet in Ayenkufunye, so yeah. I got everything, so don't worry about it. Yeah, Dietrich, thank you very much for your time and hanging out with me. And I'm going to work on this episode, edit it, and put it out for the people. But I appreciate you, sir, for your time on being on the podcast. So, and let's stay connected.
I appreciate you, bro. Thanks for having me. Very soon, we'll have the whole team on.
Yeah.
And I know very soon, I think I'll have you on our podcast too.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. I love being on the podcast too. Yeah, sure. For real.
Yeah, I have to flip it back at you.
Okay, got it, boss. Just let me know and then we can make it work.
Alright, bro.
Alright. You too, man.
Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much and be blessed.